بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي أزكى قلوب أوليائه بدينه، والصلاة والسلام على من يعلمنا تزكية النفس والحكمة، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send peace and blessings upon our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, his companions, and those who follow them until the end of time. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. I hope everyone is doing well. Alhamdulillah. I made a mistake and I was assuming that this was a long-term course. So unfortunately, the way I prepared it is that I don't think we'll finish. So inshallah, we'll come back in the future, inshallah, and try to finish it then. Bi-iznillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are going through this book called Itmamu Diraya, which is explanation of Sayyidina Imam As-Suyuti rahimahullah ta'ala on the foundations of the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that someone who wants to work on their heart will take very seriously. And we started what are called Al-Wasaya Al-Kubra, right? The first kind of nine advices for anybody who really wants to think about taking on this path. And that takes us now to the second part of the text, which is the foundations. The foundations that are three that we want to live by. And what he says is, يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُرِيدَ الْآخِرَةِ مُرَاعَتُهَا. You know that these three things for anyone who, you have to forgive me, my daughter broke my glasses, mashallah. For anybody who, murid al-akhirah, anyone who longs for the hereafter, these are three usul, these are three foundations to live by. And that's what we're going to talk about today, these three principles. So he says, وَاسْتَحْضِرْ فِي نَفْسِكَ ثَلَاثَةَ usul. And he says, you know, you should make present in your soul the following three foundations, or these three foundations. Meaning, if you want help maintaining the aforementioned advices, right? The first nine things that we went through. If you want to facilitate the process of living those things, then keep these three foundations constantly present in your life. The word usul, you can see it here. It's used in the Arabic here, right? Usul is from a word which the singular is asl. And it can be used figuratively or literally. For example, literally we say aslu dar, you know, the foundations, the qawaid of a home. So the idea is that these three things are going to be like your foundations. These are the three foundations you want to keep present with you all the time. And largely, these are three attitudes. I like to refer to them as attitudes. These are three attitudes you have to have, because look at subhanAllah, you know, people say that the month of March in 2020 has felt like a lifetime. You know, look at the things that you've gone through, say in the last, you know, 10, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. The success, the failure, the loss. So those things are always happening. But are you going to root yourself and center yourself on certain foundations so that no matter what's happening in the material world, you're with Allah? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Luqman, he says after A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, wa minan nasi man ya'buru Allah ala harf, that there are some people who worship Allah ala harf. The word harf actually means taraf al-shay, like the cliff, the edge. So there are some people who they worship Allah on an edge. What that means is, like, if good, and the verse continues, right? If good befalls them, they're great. If bad befalls them, they go to the other edge. They're like this. There's no stability. There's no centering. So what the Shaykh is saying is, rahimahullah, wastahdir fi nafsika thalathata usulin, that you want to make present in your life these three attitudes. So that matter, no matter what the world around you presents you, whether it's the victory of Badr, whether it's the loss of Uhud, whether it's success in Mecca, or whether it's the difficulties in Ta'if, you're with Allah. And what these three foundations are going to allow you, just like a home that has a strong foundation, it can withstand the elements, it can withstand the seasons, it can't withstand time, nothing can, right? كُلُّ مَنْ عَلِيهَا فَانٍ. But you want to be able to create enough support for yourself that just like a home that has strong usul, your iman has strong usul. And just as a home can survive through different seasons, you can survive through different seasons of happiness, failure, success, and so on and so forth. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Sahih al-Bukhari, you know, there is a tree, and this tree is like the believer, fahadithuni, so tell me, what is this tree? And finally, you know, they came to the conclusion that it was the date tree, subhanallah. Commenting on this, one of the scholars said, because the date tree is that one tree that gives something in all seasons. And the believer, the truly faithful person, is someone who's giving in all seasons. And that every part of the date tree has a benefit. So he mentions, you know, the dates, of course, but the water in the tree, the leaves people used to use for rugs in their homes, the bark of the nakhla tree, people used to use it for the walls and the ceilings in their houses and the furniture. Same thing with the life of a believer. Everything the believer has, inshallah, is beneficial. خَيْرُ النَّاسِ مَنْ أَنْفَعُ لِنَّاسِ, the hadith of Bukhari. The best person is the one who benefits people the most. And subhanAllah, you know, we see now many Muslims on the front lines in emergency rooms. I received a message a few days ago about one of our dear uncles, Basharat Ali, who subhanAllah, as a medical professional, when this virus hit, was immediately on the front line serving people, was afflicted by the virus and died a shaheed just a few days ago, subhanAllah. Our brother Saqib in New York City, who subhanAllah, you know, on his Facebook wall every day, he's writing about what he's seeing and the type of impact he sees this virus having on people, but he's still there on the front lines, Allahu Akbar. So that's the way of the believer. The believer is able to benefit in any situation because of foundations. So the Sheikh is saying these are three fundamental foundations you have to have to live a purpose-driven life and to live for Allah. That's why the Quran says, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُوكِ وَمَحْيَايِ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Right? That my life and my death and my sacrifice, and it doesn't say حَيَاتِ وَمَوْتِ. It says مَحْيَا وَمَمَاتِ. This is called مَصْدَر مِيمِ in Arabic, which means not, if it said حَيَاتِ وَمَوْتِ, it would mean like part of my life and part of my death is for Allah. But مَحْيَا وَمَمَاتِ means that my life in its entirety is for Allah, and my death in its entirety is for Allah. كُلُّ لِلَّهِ. In order to do that, we have to challenge ourselves to accept certain attitudes which may go against the common sense of the material world. And that's why we call it Imanun bil Ghaib. When we say we believe in the unseen, what does that mean? That means when I see the material world telling me something, and my sacred text, the Quran, and Sunnah telling me something else. If I truly believe in the unseen, I will disbelieve in the lie of the material world. وَأُصَدِّقْ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فِي كِتَابِي وَعَلِي لِسَانِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. But I will affirm what's in the Quran and affirm what the Prophet says. And even though I don't see the one who sent the Quran, and even now I don't see the Messenger of Allah speaking to me, I believe in them even though they are unseen more than what I see. That's belief in the unseen. And that's why, subhanAllah, we say that Imanun bil Ghaib mamni al ikhtiyar. Right? That faith in the unseen is largely articulated through your and my choices. So now the Shaykh is going to get into the crux of the marriage of orthodox tasawwuf with sound theology. And he says, وَاسْتَحْدِرْ فِي نَفْسِكْ ثَلَاثَةَ أُصُولٍ. Make these things present in your life. And I love the word, by the way, this form of the word, you lose something in Arabic, but in the translation. But the actual meaning here, istahdara, this is a form which means you do it. You're responsible. You have agency. You have utility. most of the words in the Quran, when it talks about guidance, uses a form which implies the person has challenged themselves to achieve it. وَالَّذِينَ تَدَوْا اِهْتَدَى اِفْتَعَلَى. The person who seeks guidance, زَادَهُمْ هُدَى. We increase him. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى تَفَعَّلَى. Indeed, successful is the one who worked to be pure. They didn't just say, yeah, whatever, man, I'm good, it's all good, alhamdulillah, Muslim, everything's gravy. No, there is a sense of agency. So the explanation here, meaning, if you want help in maintaining the aforementioned advices, keep these three foundations present in your life. And here I explained the word usul as I did earlier. What is the first principle that Sayyidina wa Imamana As-Suyuti mentions? He says, الأول أن لا نفع ولا ضرر إلا منه تعالى. The first is that there is no benefit and no harm in existence except it is from Allah. أن لا نفع ولا ضرر إلا منه تعالى. There is no benefit and there's no harm except it's from Allah. وَأَنَّمَا قَدَّرَ لَكَ رِزْقًا وَنَفْعًا وَشِدَّةً وَضَرَرًا فِي الْأَزَلِ وَاصِلٌ إِلَيْكَ مَحَالًا. Ya Allah, this is the crux of Tawheed. And oftentimes Muslims have a problem with this. Muslims will see pain in the world and say, God didn't cause pain. Evil in the world, God didn't cause evil. Allah created Adam, Allah created Iblis. Allah created Iblis's arrogance. Allah created Adam's Tawbah. This is the crux of Tawheed. And that's why in the hadith of Sayyidina Jibreel, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam repeats the verb to believe twice. And tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawm al akhir wa tu'mina bil qadri khayrihi wa sharri. He said to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the Day of Judgment, and to believe in Qada and Qadr. Because most people will have a problem with Qada and Qadr. So he mentions the verb to believe again to emphasize evil, good, happiness, sadness, kullu min Allah. So he says, وَأَنَّمَا قَدَّرَ لَكَ رِزْقًا وَنَفْعًا وَشِدَّةً وَضَرَرًا فِي الْأَزَلِ. In that whatever Allah has measured for you, the word قَدَّرَ means to measure. وَقَدَّرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقًا in Surah Al-Fajr means to restrict, but the word قَدَّر means to measure. وَأَنَّمَا قَدَّرَ لَكَ رِزْقًا وَنَفْعًا وَشِدَّةً وَضَرَرًا فِي الْأَزَلِ. That all of that was decreed before creation, beyond time, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هو سبحانه وتعالى قديم باق هو الأول والآخر ليس له بداية وليس له نهاية. Allah is beyond time. So whatever Allah has decreed is beyond the physical measurements of time. So all of this was decreed before. واصل إليك محالة. And that it's going to reach you لا محالة. Actually should be Allah here, without a doubt. This is the first principle. He said, live your life this way, that no harm and no benefit can reach you except with Allah. And that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for you in your provisions, in the things that benefit you, in the difficulties that you face, in the harm that you endure, that was decreed before creation. And that it is going to reach you without a doubt. Why does he mention this? Because if you look at these verses of Quran, this true aqidah becomes very clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yunus, verse 107, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِدُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِن يُرِدَكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَارِهِ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And if Allah should touch you with adversity, there is no remover of it except Him. And if He intends for you good, then there is no repeller of His bounty. He causes it to reach who He wills from His servants, And he is the forgiving, the merciful. The best way to learn Aqidah, I believe, is to read the Quran intimately and consistently, and then refer to trustworthy tafsir for the simple meanings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the fourth chapter of the Quran, وَإِن تُصِبَهُمْ سَيَّةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. If you know, good comes to you, if good comes to you, in tusibukum hasanatan yaqulu hadha min indillah. The whole verse in Arabic is not there. If good comes to you, they say it is from Allah. Wa in tusibuhum sayyatun yaqulu hadhihi min indik. And if they are afflicted with bad, then they say it's because of you, meaning the hypocrites. So if good comes to us, it's from God. If bad comes to us, it's because of Muhammad. A'udhu billah. Qul kullu min indillah. Say to them, no, everything good and bad is from Allah. فَمَالِ هَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا. What's wrong with these people? They can't understand anything. And of course, the famous hadith of Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which everyone should learn and we should be teaching our children, احفظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ. Be mindful of Allah. Allah will be mindful of you. Meaning, be mindful of Allah بطاعتي. By obeying Him, احفظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدُ تُجَاهَكَ. If you are mindful of Allah, you'll find Him in front of you, constantly getting your back. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهَ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you ask, ask Allah. If you seek the help of Allah. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ. And know that if an entire community, لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ, if they gathered together, عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. If the entire community, if you got a billion likes and you thought these billion likes are going to help you, they couldn't help you unless Allah decreed it. When اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. And if they gathered to try to harm you, أَنْ يَضُرُّكَ بِشَيْءٍ, with anything, they could not harm you except with what Allah has decreed for you. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. Right? Meaning this was decreed long ago, before time, before creation. The pens are dried. The pens have written and the pages are dry. And this is key to freedom. This idea that harm, benefit, evil, good, kullu min Allah. Because that causes us to rely on Allah more. A key to freedom. If you were to live by the above, you would emancipate yourself from the concerns of people. We live now in the transmodern era where the cult is what people think. Wahi is what people think. What moves us are ubudiyah if we're not careful. And maybe that's why there's a ni'mah in this isolation. You know, the Maturidi school believes that in everything there's hikmah. In everything there's wisdom. And if we can't understand the wisdom, we say there's wisdom, we don't understand the wisdom. I had a brother reach out to me and he said, because of this isolation, I haven't touched alcohol in 7 days. So there's khayr in it for him. I spoke to a couple who were having marital issues. Subhanallah. They watched a few things online. They watched some of those, like, you know, YouTube family help type deals. And now their marriage is better. They learned to love each other more. So there is hikmah sometimes in this isolation. One of the biggest challenges of contemporary culture now is the need to be approved by human beings. But look at human beings, look how weak we are, look how fragile we are. So maybe there's a blessing to pull away from worrying so much about what people think. And one of the ways to do that is to realize that nobody can hurt you, nobody can help you, nobody can bring you good except with Allah. So if we were to live by the above, we would emancipate ourselves from the concerns of people, the cult of likes, and the madness of constantly thinking, what do others think about me? Because then we would know that there was no good or bad except it was decreed by Allah. Everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second principle, Sayyidina As-Suyuti, he says, At-Tani, Annaka Abdun Marzuq. Ya Allah. He says very beautifully, أَنَّكَ عَبْدٌ مَرْزُوقٌ. You lose something in English, but it's very profound, that you are a slave and you are provided for. So the first principle is to I bring into my life, استحضار أن النفع والضر والضرر كله من الله. The first is I understand benefits and harm, everything is from Allah. Everything I have is from Allah. The second is that I understand an abdun, I'm a servant, a slave, marzuq, and that I am provided for. I'm not raziq, I'm provided for. Meaning Allah is taking care of me. You know, the greatest title a person can have is the slave of Allah. That's why subhanAllah in the Quran, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced the greatest moments of his professional career, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him Abdullah, or Abd. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. He didn't say bi Muhammadin, bi Ahmada, bi Nabiyihi. Subhana to the one who took his servant on Isra. Look at Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu salam. Now my 10-month-old daughter, she's trying to talk, you know, blah, 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 right? MashaAllah. But can you imagine if you had a child that came out of the womb talking, quoting Quran, tafsir, fatwa, everything you need to know? That's what happened with Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu salam. And without a father, he was born to his mother Maryam alayhi salam. And what's the first thing he said? What is the first thing he said? As a talking infant, Inni Abdullah, I am the slave of Allah. Because he understood that's where there's dignity. In slavery to Allah, there's dignity. In slavery to this dunya, there's shame. Annaka abdun marzuq. Allah has given you everything you have. وَأَنَّهُ يَقْبُحُهُ عَلَيْكِ. And it is not fitting for you أَن تَكْرَهُ, to hate, مَا يَفْعَلُهُ بِكِ, what Allah has done with you, مَوْلَكُ, what your master, meaning Allah, مَالِكُ الْمُلْكِ, has caused you to experience. Ya Allah. وَأَنَّهُ, he says, أَنَّكَ عَبْدٌ مَرْزُوقٌ, you're the servant of Allah, whether you choose it or not. One of my teachers used to say, people worship something, man. If they don't worship Allah, they worship something else. I remember as a young person, I saw people worshiping the wheels on their cars. I saw a fight over somebody because their wheels were, you know, somebody said something bad about the wheels on their car. Like, really? Think about the stuff we fight over. Fighting over toilet paper? Ya Allah. Anta abdun. If people don't believe they're provided for, look what this has taught us. Look what this challenge has taught people. Hoarding. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. الذي جمع ماله. There's a qira'ah. You know, the one who hoards it. Not jama'a. جمع ماله. Just collects it. And not only if it was jama'a, collected his wealth. But jama'a, collected it and counted it. Hoarded it. I mean, the West gave us a show called Hoarders. Allahu Akbar. Israf. So Allah says, أَنَّكَ عَبْدٌ مَرْزُوقٌ وَأَنَّهُ يَقْبُحُهُ عَلَيْكَ أَن تَكْرَهُ مَا يَفْعَلُهُ بِكَ مَوْلَاكَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَشْفَقُ عَلَيْكَ وَأَرْحَمُ بِكَ مِن نَفْسِكَ وَوَالِدَيْكَ. Ya Allah. The Shaykh, he says, the second principle is you should understand that you are the servant of Allah and that you are marzuq. You are not a raziq. That Allah is providing everything you have. وَأَنَّهُ, and that indeed, يَقْبُحُهُ عَلَيْكَ, it is unbecoming. And the word قُبْح means ugly. It's very hard to give you the exact meaning in English, in Arabic, but like, it would be detestable for you to hate what your Lord has given you and done with you. Especially when هُوَ أَشْفَقُ عَلَيْكَ وَأَرْحَمُ بِكَ مِن نَفْسِكَ وَوَالِدَيْكَ. Especially when he loves you more and is more merciful to you than you are to yourself and your parents are to you. That's our belief. That's what we believe. That's why I said, to be a Muslim is to challenge yourself. Because the material world, do I have yaqeen in the material world? Do I have yaqeen in what I see? Or do I have yaqeen in the promise of Allah? Wa'adallahi haqq, la yukhlifuhu al-mi'ad. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Allah says, I never wrong anybody. But no. I don't believe in the dunya. The dunya, as we'll talk about in a minute, is a liar. لكن الآخرة صادقة المصدوق. But the hereafter is haq. وأنه أحكم الحاكمين في فعله. And that he is the most just and precise in what he does. وأنه لم يريد بذلك. And that he did not want, subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think there's a mistake in the print there. وَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يُرِيدْ بِذَلِكَ الْوَاصِلِ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الضَّرَرِ. Yes, and that he did not want, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from those things which harmed you and reached you, except صلاحك ونفعك. إِلَّا صَلَاحَكْ وَنَفْعَكْ. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted from you in those difficulties that reached you is what? Is that you would be rectified, that you will find yourself improving because of those difficulties, and that ultimately even in the harm that Allah allowed to reach you and decreed to reach you is your benefit. That's our belief. As Muslims, that's what we believe. But I don't understand. Okay, I don't understand. Subhanallah. I leave it to Allah. I don't understand. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Ufawwidu amri ila Allah. So the Shaykh, he says, annaka abdun marzuqun, that you are a servant who is taken care of. Wa annahu yaqbuhuhu alayka an takrahu ma yaf'aluhu bika mawlak. That you are a servant and slave of God, provided for by God, and that it would be unbecoming of you to hate what your provider has given you, because he's the only provider. Especially هو أشفق عليك وأرحم بك من نفسك والديك. When he's more merciful and loves you more than you love yourself or even your parents. وأنه أحكم الحاكمين في فعله. And that he is the most precise and just in what he does. وَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يُرِدْ بِذَٰلِكَ وَالْوَاصِلْ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الضَّرَرِ إِلَّا صَلَاحَكْ وَنَفْعَكْ. And those things that you perceive as harm that have reached you, you must believe that there is wisdom in that, which is either going to bring about a sense of rectification and improvement and benefit. How do we see that? Because we don't restrict benefit to utility in the world. Sometimes I worry about some of the messages of Islamic content providers when they tie being a good Muslim to material success. That's incorrect. If that was the case, we would have a lot of munafiqs, like in Medina. But in Mecca, there was very little material success. It doesn't mean that we are not responsible, that we don't work hard. Of course we do. But regardless, I try my best. Whatever happens, harm or benefit is from Allah. I keep going. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And now I worry sometimes that we celebrate things which are tied to the material world in the name of religion, and we neglect things which the religion holds important, but are not seen as important by the current popular trends of the material world. That's a problem. That's why Sheikh Ahmed Rafa'i, he said, you know, the way of da'wah is two. One is a way of popularity, fiha zahma, everybody was there. One is a way of service and hard work, kana fiha faragh, it was empty. And that is the way of the prophets. Look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he goes to Sayyidah Khadija, what does she affirm him with? She affirms him with things which are not popular. You help the poor. You speak the truth. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we allow ourselves to tie our religion's success based on the barometer of the societies that we live in, we will fail to uphold the honorable fidelity of prophethood. When the Prophet said, oh Allah, unite me with the poor. Look at the concerns of the Muslim community, how they tend to go with whatever's popular instead of having our own message. Where are the Muslims that are looking after the people who were underserved and poor? Where are the Muslims that are in the streets serving the people, the poor righteous teacher? Where is that person? But we like to be in the Capitol building. We like to be at the White House iftar with the Israeli ambassador. And we have nothing to say about it because we're happy to be in the room. Whereas the poor righteous teacher is not going to be in those places. The prophet is going to be with the people who need prophethood. And if they are in the bastions of power, they will bring out the Mosaic compulsion to speak truth to oppressors, not to smile and be happy, and not to say, well, you know, there's maslaha, there's benefit for the community. What's the benefit of the community? What's the benefit of the community of being shamed in such a way, of being degraded in such a way? Because if you live for the dunya, you'll be shamed by the principles of the akhirah. That's how it works. So the sheikh is saying here, realize that Allah is your Lord. You're provided for by Allah. And any harm that comes to you, it was for your benefit in this life and the next. If I restrict my judgment just to the material, then of course I'm going to be like, man, this is horrible. What's wrong with Muslims? Islam is hard. I can't have any fun. But if I see beyond the dunya to the hereafter, then I realize this is just temporary. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Over the stretch of time, we will give you what will make you happy. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, Allahu arhamu bil mu'mini min al mar'ati bi waladiha. That the Prophet said, Allah is more merciful to a believer than a mother is to her offspring. And he said, لا يصيب المؤمن من نصب ولا وصب ولا سقم ولا حزن. That a believer is not going to be tested with pain, loss, sickness, sadness, حتى الهم, even anxiety caused by something that he or she worries about. إلا كفر الله به سيئاته. Except Allah will forgive that person of sin. So these two hadith, why are they there? The first is talking about what happens in our life. The second is talking about what happens in our akhirah. In both situations, no one can be more merciful than to Allah. And in both situations, we're able to frame pain, suffering, loss, hardship, difficulty. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So now as we all suffer, our lives have been gravely impacted by this very difficult challenge. Alhamdulillah, we're with Allah. Alhamdulillah. Every second of this experience, inshallah, will be kafarat al-dhunub, will be an expiation for our sins. Allahu Akbar. This brings us to an important point. He says, if you bring this into your life and to the depths of your soul, you'll find submitting to the qada of Allah easy. So what was the first principle? To understand that all harm and benefit is from Allah. The second is that we are the servants and slaves of Allah, whether we like it or not, and that we are provided for by Him, and that whatever happens, whether good or bad, we shouldn't dislike it. We should be patient or thankful. And that if it's harm or suffering, then that is a means of our expiation of sin or to improve ourselves, inshallah ta'ala, in the dunya. My personal trainer back in the days used to say to me that people perform well when the treadmill goes up. The treadmill goes down, they get lazy. So sometimes there's the blessing of adversity. The third principle, inshallah, as we finish and then we can take your questions, inshallah, if you have any. The sheikh, he says, الثالث, أي الأصل الثالث, أن الدنيا زائلة فانية. That this life is temporary and fleeting. وَالْآخِرَةَ آتِيَةٌ بَاقِيَةٌ. In that the hereafter is coming, it's approaching, and it's everlasting. This is really beautiful. If you understand Arabic, it's called tibaq, where you take two opposites from what's called the ilm al-badi'a, and you compare them, you bring them together. It's like cool in the language. He says, الْأَصْلُ أَثَارِثِ أن الدنيا زائلة فانية والآخرة أن الدنيا زائلة فانية والآخرة آتية باقية. That you know that the dunya is leaving you, it's fleeing, it's running away from you, and that it is perishing. والآخرة, it's coming at you. باقية, and it's gonna last forever, بإذن الله. وأنك في الدنيا مسافر ولا بد أن ينتهي سفرك. And that in this temporary world, you are a traveler. As the Prophet ﷺ said, كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر السبيل. Be in this life like a stranger or a traveler. وأنك في الدنيا مسافر ولا بد أن ينتهي سفرك. Sheikh, he says that in this world you have to know that you're just a traveler, and without a doubt your journey is going to come to an end. That's why in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks to Sayyidina Adam and his wife, he says, Uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah. Uskun means khudh hadha al-makan maskanan. Take, and the word sakan is from the word sakina, tranquility. So take Jannah as your place of rest, of the place you can finally be like, ah. But he doesn't say that about dunya. قُلْنَا هَبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى فَمَنْ تَابِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. So the dunya is framed as a temporary place. The Jannah is framed as a maskan. Allahu Akbar. And that's why sometimes in the Quran Allah says, قُلْنَا هَبِطَا, O Adam, you and your wife get out of Jannah. And other times, قُلْنَا هَبِطُوا, all of you. Not just Adam, his wife, us and their offspring, all of us, because Jannah is our true home. فَكُلُّنَا مُسَافِرٌ وَلَا بُدَّ أَن يَنْتَهِي سَفَرُنَا. So the Shaykh, he says, you have to believe that the dunya is fleeing, falling apart. Thermodynamics, man. The hereafter is coming and everlasting. And that you are traveling in this life. And without a doubt, your travel will cease. وَتَصِلُوا إِلَى دَارِكَ. And then one day, you will reach your destination, your home. فَاحْتَمِلْ مَشَاقَةَ السَّفَرِ. He says something very beautiful. He says, فَاحْتَمِلْ, then carry مَشَقَّاتِ السَّفَرِ. Carry the difficulties, patiently preserve with the challenges of your travel in this dunya. Sabr. We know that patience, I like to use the word resilience. I don't like the translation patience. Resilience, a sabr, is like a wing on a bird. Thankfulness and patience. The believer always finds his or herself in one of those situations, either thankful or having resilience. That's it. And resilience is in two areas, right? Or three. Resilience in doing the obligations. Resilience in staying away from the haram. And the third, the most difficult, resilience with pain, suffering, difficulties. And the fourth, resilience with success. Arba. Four. فَاحْتَمِلْ مُشَاقَةِ السَّفَرِ. So bear patiently with the challenges of your journey. وَاجْتَهِدْ فِي إِبَارَةِ الدَّارِكِ. And work hard to establish your abode, meaning in the hereafter. Work hard for it. You know, and what he means by that is ibadah, living a good life. صَدَقَةُ جَارِيَةٌ وَالْبَاقِيَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. In doing those good things that are going to last. وَإِصْلَاحِهَا وَتَزْيِينِهَا فِي هَذَا الْأَمَدِ الْقَلِيلِ. So he says, then strive with all your might to establish your abode in the hereafter, to repair it and to adorn it. فِي هَذَا الْأَمَدِ الْقَلِيلِ, in this short time. لِتَمَتَّعَ بِهَا دَهْرًا مَدِيدًا بِلَا نَصَبٍ. So that you can find pleasure in a longer a longer time, an infinite time in the next life. So work hard now. So in this short section here, he touches on a few important issues. Number one, that the dunya is done and the akhirah is forever. Number two, that we're just traveling through this dunya. We're in an Uber, man. What do we do in that Uber? It's up to us. And as we travel, we're going to run into hardships, so we have to be resilient. And number four, ijtihad najtahid, that we have to work hard. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنُمْ سُبُلَنَا. We have to work hard for our hereafter, to establish our abode there. وَإِصْلَاحِهَا وَتَزْيِينِهَا. In this short time, so that we can celebrate, inshaAllah ta'ala, in the hereafter, for a long time. We know that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Mali wali dunya, ma ana fi dunya illa karaqibin istadalla tahta shajaratin, thumma raha wa tarakaha." Sayyidina Muhammad ﷺ said, "Mali," he was sleeping, he woke up. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and the Sahaba asked him, "Ya Rasulullah, what's going on?" He said, "Mali wali dunya, what do I have to do with this temporary life? Ma ana fi dunya illa karaqibin. I am in this life. The only thing I am like is like a traveler. Istadalla tahta shajara, who seeks, you know, just to get some shade under a tree. Thumma raha wa tarakaha. Gets a little rest and goes. Doesn't stay long." Inshallah, we'll stop here. We'll take any questions that you have. And next time, we're going to talk about sifatul mu'min al-haq, the true qualities of the mu'min. Barakallahu feekum. Just quickly, let's review the three principles that Imam As-Suyuti, rahimahullah, these attitudes, is encouraging us to live by. The first one, which is very important, is that we understand that all benefit, all pain, all happiness, and all success is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is that we understand that we are the servants of Allah and that all our provisions are coming from Allah, so we shouldn't hate what Allah has planned for us. But we should understand that whether it's good or bad, there's wisdom. And if it's harm or pain, there's a reason for that, either for our expiation of sins or to help us improve how we live in this life, to wake us up, right? And the third principle is we understand that the dunya is fleeting and the hereafter is coming, that the dunya is temporary and that the hereafter is permanent, and that we are travelers in this journey, and that this journey is going to be rocked at times with difficulties and hardships, so we have to be patient with those mushaqqat ad-dunyawiyya, and then we work hard to establish our abode in the hereafter. Most people, they invert that. They want to be comfortable here and they want to work hard for here without thinking about the hereafter. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khairan wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Imam, I just have a couple questions here that were posted in the chat, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
Let me see if you... two things that give many people angst. Provisions for our lives, also known as risk, and the safety in this dunya keep people's anxiety high. How would you recommend we fortify ourselves to lower this anxiety? That's the first question.
So I think number one is to reflect on individually. So there's three parts to this. There's an individual responsibility, there's a communal responsibility, and then there's a professional responsibility. Individually, I need to reflect on the stories of the prophets who went through incredible challenges, who were hit with anxiety, right? It's a normal thing, but were able to control that anxiety to the point that it did not become a destabilizing influence in their lives, and to see and how Allah helped them in this life as well as helps them in the next. And these anxieties are normal. Because we have anxiety doesn't mean we have weak iman, by the way. It's something that's normal. The second is that communities have to make sure that we provide our communities with the resources to shoulder anxieties. Anxieties are real. Like, for example, now we should be having workshops. I think you guys are doing this, like on financial planning, right? There should be workshops on what people can do, what people can do, right? The Black Church is a great example in 2008, who, you know, the black church reacted to the recession and started to create plans that would help people financially. I know in Boston, when I was an imam there, we created a lent trust that had $22 million in it that was there to help people. And we're about to open up a credit bureau type situation. Union. Yeah, a credit union in the community. So I think there also has to be a providing emotional resources for people, psychiatrists, mental health. But the community, and that's the third, but the community also has events. Like, we have to celebrate community, honor community, and then also create strategies for people to survive. Not everybody's gifted in finances, right? Now, today, my tax guy called me. He said, did you apply for the $10,000? I was like, just did. You know what I mean? He's like, no, you didn't do it now, right? So not all of us aren't as apt at this as others are. And some of us may not have time. And then the third is that, you know, people may need to seek counselors, therapists for themselves. So I think there's three components to that, inshallah.
JazakAllah khair. The next question is, how do we take meaning from the mass death and suffering experienced or seen across all of the classes, rich or poor? Is there any way to take solace in this? And is it wrong to take any solace in this?
I think that we're going to have to give that book time to be written. You know, I think that is something I never like to tell people. You have to derive this wisdom immediately, right? I think it takes time, but I do think that it has one thing, and it has it has shown the fragility of America, right? America has been arrogant for a long time. And many of us may have believed in the false American universal. Doesn't mean America is all bad either. We don't need to go to one extreme or another. And it's also shown that, you know, death doesn't care, man, where you're from, who you are. And that's why I was worried when this first started. There were Muslims saying, this is a plague which Allah is throwing at the Chinese. Wait a minute. Right? This is coming for everybody, brother. So death is just. You know, if human beings were as just as death was, the world would be a lot better off. So there may be things, and I think we need to be also sometimes careful, and forgive me, of articulating wisdoms, because they may offend. Each of us has a very subjective lesson we're learning from this. And so maybe here's something, Sharif, you can think about. You guys did this a while back. It was beautiful during the San Bernardino thing when you did the town hall at ISCJ. It was so good. It was therapeutic for me. I'm not even from your community, right? There's going to be tremendous trauma that comes out of this situation. May Allah make it easy for us. How do we as a community after this heal together? Can you imagine how happy you will be to be able to walk across the street and have a conversation with the neighbor that you didn't like before? You know what I mean? I literally feel like we're just going to all come out of our homes and just hug each other if we make it. So, you know, I think that communities are going to have to think about how do you do like post. And the other thing is, they're saying this is a marathon, right? This is not a race. That it may, you know, God help people in my city, New York City, your city, New York City, right? You're from Long Island, Staten Island. You know, it's going to move from place to place. Some places may have to observe social distancing, others won't until there's a vaccine. So we just need to really be there, I think, but we should give ourselves patience in trying to understand the deeper meaning. This is tough, man. And it's okay not to always be able to religiously rationalize things. Say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That's, you know, so I think that's kind of a way to look at that.
Another question here. How can we provide dawah to people of the book in these times and show them that these are the signs of Allah?
I mean, I don't think they have a problem recognizing that this is a sign of God, a lot of them, right? I think the bigger issue is what you see Muslims doing now, like the selflessness of our community. You see Muslim youth in New York under 50 going out and volunteering now, taking food to people's houses, dropping off groceries, Long Island, I don't know, one of them, or maybe in Brooklyn. They're organizing the way that they're trying to follow health guidelines, but then making sure that people have what they need to live. So I think Muslims are really at the forefront of a lot of this work, as well as other religious communities. I think this is a great moment for religion. I hate to say that, right? Celebrities can't help people. Celebrities are getting a test done in 15 minutes. Donald Trump gets a test done in 15 minutes. What now is the shining language of society, which is constantly concerned about people, largely is religion. And this is a moment, where's atheism? How's atheism helping people now? Joe Rogan, now he says he's endorsing Trump. Like, you know, if we want to look at this challenge, there's really only one science outside of course, finding a vaccine that socially can make sense of this and help people. That's religion. And then is in a institutional space to help. That's one of the things that's very important about religion. It has a history. When you discount religion from history, you discount now Catholic Charities, Islamic Relief, you discount Iman in Chicago, you discount Muslims Giving Back in New York. And these people are in a place to help. And God, in their minds, in their hearts, is compelling them to sacrifice for people. Same thing with our first responders, our nurses, and our physicians. Many of them are faithful people, different religions and backgrounds, have no problem being out on the front lines, man.